are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So today, having financial independence isn't just about making ends meet. It's about making choices, taking charge, and creating a future that aligns with one's dreams and ambitions, from shattering glass ceilings to fostering self-resilience. Let's explore why financial independence is crucial for women and how it impacts their personal and professional life. Ready to discuss how financial savvy and empowerment go hand in hand, we are joined on the line by my sister Ntsiki Nkomo, who's going to be helping us with this one. My sister, good morning. How are you? I am good. Thank you so much for joining us. Indeed. Oh, yeah, I can see the line is breaking a bit. I don't know, maybe we can move to the side.
Okay. Is it better now?
Yes, perfect. Love it. How are you, my darling?
I'm fine. I don't know if I'm an expert in this topic that is being talked about, because these days everybody is just trying to make ends meet indeed.
Indeed. No, the sense of knowledge that you have, I'm sure that it will help us in terms of, you know, helping our listeners here to be financially stable. So looking at, let's get right into it. You know, is there in fact a benefit in us as women being financially independent? I mean, really now?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a benefit in everyone, in fact, being financially independent, but women, most importantly, because women are the nurturers and builders of society.
Mm.
Women are the ones who take care of children, who take care of the home, who take care of their parents, who take care of relatives, who take care of the spouse, if there's a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
But I say if there's a spouse, because women also tend to live longer than their husbands.
Mm.
And most women are widowed in these days. Some women are not widowed. They just become single parents for a variety of reasons.
Mm.
An unplanned future that you didn't foresee for yourself. But then you're settled with this obligation. You're settled with a gift from God. You have a child, but you now have to take care of that child.
Mm.
A woman always has dependents. If it's not a child, it's your siblings, younger siblings especially, if you happen to be older. If it is not that, it is your in-laws or your own parents. If it is not that, it will be members of the community somewhere. It's a neighbor.
Mm.
So yes, there is benefit in being financially independent.
So when we are now financially independent, you know, how does that help us in terms of us making choices and decisions? You know, is it because now we're not asking anyone? For example, you saw that cake there, or you saw something, you're not asking for money. But how does it help us in terms of those decisions that we have to make and choices in life?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that the paradigm or the thought that we should have is understanding that we don't need financial independence for ourselves to serve us only. We need it because my starting point is we are nurturers and builders of the society. That's how God intended it to be. So while the men are the providers, where we're the men, we are still there. We need to be a helper for that man. And we need to be financially independent in that sense, because we're not living for ourselves. If God even gives us an example of the woman in Proverbs 31. You know the famous Proverbs 31 woman.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that is talked about there is, even at the gates of the city, they look forward to seeing her. They talk about her. Who are these now? These are people who are benefiting from her industry.
Mm-hmm.
Her industriousness, her productivity, and things like that. So if you have the framework of, it is not about me and satisfying my own needs only.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about how it extends to the immediate community around me. And now, having said that, it's also good that you see a pair of shoes, and if the spirit moves you in that direction, you can make the decision to say, yeah, these shoes are needed, you know?
Yeah.
And you're not financially hamstrung not to get them. Of course, I'm saying it jokingly. A shoe, a bag, a perfume. I know women, we buy these things on impulse.
Yeah.
But you need to have, when you have satisfied all the obligations, you've paid your bond or your rent, you've paid your debt, you've paid your bills, there should be some change, nyan. And that change has got to be, you know, you've returned your tithe and all. That change has got to be something that you can please yourself with, you can treat yourself. In the world, they say, pay yourself first, then pay the rest. Our economy is return a tithe to God. Thank God first, pay your obligations, take care of the others around you, then God will thank you. You can thank yourself, go to the spa, go and do your nails, whatever it is that you do. The point I'm trying to make is that there needs to be a balance by saying that you don't live for yourself. I don't mean that you deprive yourself of life's little joy. No, you can't do that. You should be able to get an ice cream if you want to. You should be able to treat a friend to a nice juice. You know, little things, you should be able to avoid that, to afford that, sorry.
So looking at, you know, when we, for example, looking at the South African climate, we can see that it's quite challenging for women to get jobs. Hence, the government, you know, came up with this all these schemes where now women are getting more employed the most, but it's still a bit of a challenge, you know, for them to actually be in certain industries or so. But what are some challenges, you know, that we as women we face in terms of achieving our financial independence, and how can we overcome some of those challenges that are out there?
The sad thing about it is the inequity that is there. So by inequity, I mean that a boy child and a girl child can study the same at an institution, the same degree or same diploma, same certificate, whatever, have the same qualification. Even if you don't go to higher education, even just after matric, and you go into an institution, the way that things have been structured from the past is that the man will be paid, the male counterpart will be paid higher than the female counterpart, based on our understanding of patriarchy, that the man is the provider, he's got more responsibility, and then the woman is paid less. Now, if that is a woman who is unmarried, it then has a negative impact. If she's married and her husband is working, then it's better because they can offset, you know, at least the husband is bringing, there's two incomes that come into the family. If it is a woman who is unmarried, maybe widowed or never married, she's earning less than, and remember what I said about the natural role of the woman. She has to take care of everything else. Now, in South Africa, it's compounded by the fact that, not just in South Africa, but generally, the economy is so slow.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, there are schemes and there are many other things that government is trying to put in place to try to give people a better earning capacity, or at least a chance to try and get to that. But there are so many of us that not everybody is going to benefit. The lesson that we're learning again from Proverbs 31 is learning to have multiple sources of income. So if you are educated in the formal system, anything can happen to cut that stream off. What is your fallback? Women must learn to have other skills, doing things. Whether you are working or not, you must have multiple sources of income. By multiple sources of income, we mean that you should be able to earn from your job.
Yeah.
You should be able to earn from selling. You start by selling whatever it is that you sell. People sell clothes now. People sell bags and shoes. People sell all sorts of things. Now everybody's selling. We are everybody's customer. If you don't make money, it ends up having a negative effect. in the course of your life, when you're enjoying yourself and having that ice cream and splurging on that bag and that pair of shoes that I talked about earlier, you can decide to make a different decision and say, I'll splurge later. Let me rather invest this little bit of money that I have. There are unit trusts. You say, let me put it in a unit trust and let me see how it's going to do for me in about 2 years. But given the market upheaval, there's no guarantee that you'll get a return. You might lose it.
Yep.
But that investment is a gamble, right? So if in the event that you do make it, the best form of investment so far in the world, unless you are in a war-torn area, is property. Property. If you can just buy, if you can't buy anything, at your mother's house, build just one room at the back. Just one room to add to the rooms that are there. And get that one room to start earning for you. In a few years' time, that one room grows to 2-3 rooms. In a few more years' time, by the time you 10 years has elapsed, you've got enough money to put a small, low-cost house that can earn you a decent living. And you've built it cash. You can move in there and live in there. You avoid heavy rentals. You avoid a bond cost. But of course, chances are you'll be spending on transport.
Yes.
But maybe you won't be spending double on transport and on rent, and the transport might be less. So the point I'm making is, yes, you can be working. Yes, you can have some other streams. But you must have multiple streams, multiple sources of income. I know we say it, we speak English, but we're never really practical about it. You can't all have property, though property is good.
Yes.
Learn a skill. Teach in the evenings. There are so many people who have lost the opportunity. Life did happen, and they now want to go back and learn something. Be a tutor for a minimal fee. Just learn to have a different. Learn to make clothes so that you're not buying. So that you're not buying constantly, perpetually. Invest in a little machine. Invest in textiles. Now we believe we don't even have an excuse. We've got YouTube. It teaches everything. Learn how to make your own clothes. Instead of buying from that boutique a 4,000 rand dress that you buy every month to impress who I don't know, that 4,000, you buy a little machine.
Yeah.
The next month, if you can afford it, you learn how to sew, and then you do that. By the time you're done, you're doing 5 or 4 things.
True.
That are giving you a trickle, a trickle, a trickle. And it adds up when you all add all of them. People bake. They make cakes for babies. They make cakes for people, for baby showers, for bridal showers, for weddings, for what? As a side, we call it a side hustle, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we should have, my point is, have multiple sources of income. Nothing is beneath you. As long as it's not sinful, nothing is beneath you. That's what the woman of Proverbs 31 is. She was so industrious. She did everything. And therefore, she always had money to help herself and her family and others.
So, you know, and I'm loving all the examples that you are giving us. You may find that, for example, maybe the property might take time, but someone is now having a side hustle, you know, multiple streams of income. But you find that at the end of the day, there's nothing to show for it. You know, the money is gone.
There's like, nothing to show for it.
Like, the moment it enters Woolies, that is where you're going to find your
dollar. No. You know? I was going there.
I was going there.
It has now to come with a spirit of discipline.
Yes.
This is so hard. And especially if you tell yourself, I've been depressed for so long.
Yes.
I need to thank myself somehow. I've not been on holiday. I hear you've seen everybody's pictures. They're going on boat cruises. They're flying. And they're talking soft life. But you haven't had soft life in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
For the little 23,000 nest egg that you have, you're just thinking, I'm going to splurge and enjoy this. That is our problem. So the spirit of discipline is important, to know when to save, to know when to invest, to know when to spend. If it is not enough, so if you've made that nest egg, instead of blowing the entire 23,000, make a deal with yourself prayerfully. after getting wisdom from God and say, rather, Lord, I would have loved Mauritius, but I can still do Durban. Mm. I'll just take 6,000 from this, leave the rest of what remains of the 23,000 and let it grow. Mm. That way, it's kind of a I'm trying to be real, because sometimes people say, no, have the spirit of self-discipline. Konapo, you are living such a bitter life. Now, I don't believe that you're supposed to be bitter throughout life.
Mm.
But you can make a pact with yourself. There are small little things that you can do to bide time and still to see the joys of life without splurging and breaking the bank. Mm. Remember, when you are thinking financial planning and financial, you must have a long-term future. Right now, we are talking two pot or is it three pot good retirement. Yeah, it is not going to work well. It is a very ill-conceived plan. And I know that it has been said it is done so that people don't have to access their money only at retirement. Utolukuti, you've been working all your life, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, and you're in deep debt. You can't access your funds because you need to resign to do that.
Yeah.
So they're trying to ameliorate that and say, no, have a saving pot and then have some that you can use for later. When you retire, you can access later. But the truth of it is, cost of living is getting harder and harder, higher and higher. By the time you retire, the value of money would be lower than what it is right now. You will not be able to afford the life you're living right now. So if you're already eating a third of that money on an annual basis, on debt, you are not even investing it.
Yep.
On debt. You are servicing debt. So if you don't have the outlook of a future ahead, that's why I go back to property. Do you shall have after this when I am done, when nobody else can take care of me? Where will I live? Start thinking about it now in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. That, in fact, by the time you are in your 40s, you should already be having your solid plan. Yeah, and doing something about it. Nothing is guaranteed in life, but it's better to be prepared than to be sorry.
And I think when it comes to financial literacy, you know, sometimes we feel like because we're financially literate or we're trying, you know, not to cry at the end of the day, you know, we become frugal. We don't even spend on ourselves whilst we're not saying that. We're saying that, yes, because, for example, me and my husband, we have this thing that, you know, to us paid, like, yes, this year, Sebenza. When we want to do something that is not in the plans, we like, yes, this year, Sebenza, you know.
And then, we can't live like us.
Yes. And then, you know, we go, we buy those things, those smaller things that, you know, to treat ourselves. So we're not saying don't treat yourself, but treat yourself knowing that there is tomorrow, you know. So knowing that you need to do other things.
But also, Vanele, we must learn to say no.
Yeah.
I spoke about taking care of others and taking care of the community.
Yeah.
There are people who don't pull their weight around you, who know that you will always be a helping hand.
Yay.
You must guard that. You must guard that so that you're not taken advantage of. So even as you help wisely, having seen that this is help that is needed. There are days when you just want to be generous, but you can't create perpetual dependency. When, especially for somebody who's well, like bodily, they're able, they're well able. By that I mean they have no disability. This person can work and earn a living, but they will not do it because they know Zanele is there at the end of the month. So Zanele, tell my sister, come, my sister.
Yeah.
Now, it's okay once in a while not to be perpetuated. So even as we say help, you must learn to say no. You must learn to say no to everybody who's asking for money from school.
Yeah.
My child is doing this at school. Please sponsor this. My kid is this. Please sponsor. You can't say yes to everything. So the courses that you give to, you must really evaluate and think so that you're not an emotional spender. What do I want to give? How much do I want? After I've returned the tithe, what about the offering bit? This is what I've tithed. This is what I have offered. Right. Then what remains? who am I going to help? Is there anybody that I'm going to afford to help at this time? I used to pray a prayer that says, God, who are you giving me this year? And without fail, that year, God will bring someone in my life.
Yeah.
And I would commit to God to say, okay, I'm committing groceries for this person for this year, every month. My new thing,
After
a year, I cut it.
You're done.
I'm done. I know that I'm done. But I was systematic in doing so. And I believe that I've done my duty in terms of helping those around me. I'm not talking about my mother. I'm not talking about my children. I'm talking about just somebody that is not even maybe a relation to me.
Yeah.
And yeah, that becomes important.
Mm.
But I can tell you that the independence of financially for women is important. I'm not putting it down.
Mm.
But the reason for being independent financially is important to note. And also that we've got people who can't work.
Mm.
We've got people who cannot try if they may. They can't generate that several streams of income like I'm talking. To them, it's theory what I'm saying.
Mm.
So what do we do?
Mm.
Again, in Deuteronomy, God says, it's just that we don't live what we claim to believe. God says the church, when the tithes have been returned and the Levites, our pastors, have been paid, take care of the orphan and the widow and the stranger from that month. We don't do that as a church. We just care for our pastors, which is well and good. I love pastors. I'm all for that. I'm not even saying pastors shouldn't be paid.
Yeah.
But there's enough that remains in the reserve to take care of widows. And widows sometimes include your old moms, your old aunties who come to church, who have never had a child, never married.
Yep.
They're included in that group.
Yep.
And they need to be taken. The church has to give them the basics in this life. The church is not doing, we've got so much in reserve as a church. We are thinking like the world. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be starving. We must be. But we have to think about what makes us different from the rest of society. It's in this ability of us to take care of ourselves and take care of each other. So that fund, the tithe, is something that in the church right now, we shouldn't be having people who are in need in the church. We shouldn't. Who are in such need, you would say, but like welfare.
Hey.
No. We shouldn't in God's church. So that part of financial, and God was safeguarding it for women. For women. That's why he doesn't say the widower. What is the widow? So young children and women must be taken care of as far as is possible, at least until one is on their feet, and then they can do that. So financial independence is important, and so is our ability to take care of the financially dependent person. But I did mention investments. I think investments are important.
Yes.
We must also invest in ourselves. The best form of investing in oneself is education. You must pursue education little by little. You don't have to do big things, but learn. Have the attitude of learning something new. You never know when the window of opportunity will open and you are at the right place at the right time and you've got the right qualification or even experience, you see. So it's really important. It's sad to find people who say, I can do long service. It's just that I didn't have paper. I didn't have certificate. They, you know, then I was overlooked. So at any point in time, get that paper. It's important. It is a way of life here. Get the knowledge. Get the knowledge and be ever learning. And as I said, even if it's not informal education, informally learn some trade, learn something. We must have the attitude of learning. That is how you invest in yourself and you become useful to people around you. And they can trust you and they can give you opportunities that give you that earning capacity. So that is what it is.
Yeah, ne. Thank you so much, Desinsik. I think if no one has heard you, they will go back and listen to the podcast. But it has been quite insightful. And I'm happy that, you know, for me, it was the side hustle ideas that you gave us there. And I was writing down, I'm like, I think this one, you know, it suits me there. I'm going to be doing that because we do need that money, to a point where when you are saying, yasebenza, you know, you're not asking for permission from anyone. You are able to go and buy yourself that ice cream. Like, spring is coming. You need to eat. You understand, and not be dependent on someone. Good, yo, so and so didn't give me money this month. Shoguti, I won't be able to buy, for example, an extra roll on, an extra lotion, an extra this. You understand? Exactly. But you are able to buy and those things yourself.
You know, actually, you end up selling your soul. That's how people end up selling their soul. Mm. That's how people end up compromising their morals because you are so dependent on somebody else to give you a source of income, to give you a living, and it's not right. It's important that we pull our weight and we do what we can. Mm. God gave us brains. God gave us, we are able bodies. That's the word I was looking for earlier. As long as you can do that, as long as you're breathing, do your bit. Do your bit. Do the best. In fact, people love seeing someone who's doing their best. Then they can come and meet you after and say, listen, we are Zama. Let me help you. So let's do that so that we don't become a problem for society and God's name is defamed. Utrayo, they dress well, but they're living over their means. They can't afford life. So let's improve.
Sister Nsiki, thank you so much. I'm going to ask before we go that can you please pray for these women that we may be financially stable and independent?
Yeah, myself included. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this hour of prayer. Thank you for teaching us the ways that we can do. You've got it in the Bible. We've got role models. We've got the woman of Proverbs 31 who has lived and your name was glorified because of the way she was running her life. May she be a role model for us all, and may we learn from her. But Lord, we are living in real time right now. Some don't have food. Some they don't know what's going to happen with rent. Some they don't know what's going to happen with tuition. Others don't know what's going to happen. They have to go to an interview to require money, Lord. Others have the means, but they have a compulsive spending habit. They don't know how to stop it. Others, Lord, have the money, but they have a hard heart. They don't know how to share it. Meet us all at our point of need, because at the end of the day, you have set us apart as children of God. You want the world to see and to want to emulate us and say, we want the success they have. How do they do it? But as it is, God, we are struggling. We are struggling. We are not faithful in tithe and offering. We are not faithful in anything. We have the form of godliness, but we deny your power in our lives. So we ask for that power to be your children, to follow your rules because you've set them in place, to make us prosper. You want good things for us. Please help us. Give us lessons. Give us wisdom. Forgive us our sins and give us a chance to make it right. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Sinsiki, for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you, Vanilla, too.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.